The thoughts that I have this morning are a development of something that I've enjoyed, and especially something that I've always enjoyed in the Old Testament scriptures. But a couple of months back, we went for a holiday to that part of the country that is called the Wild West. And with all the various animals and all kinds of wild creatures that roam in the Wild West, one of the first animals that we saw was a mountain goat. It is not the kind of a goat that you see here, the black goat or the small goat, but it's a big, huge mountain goat. And after having seen that mountain goat come down, it was almost on a big cliff. It had come down all the way down the cliff, and it was standing with absolute majesty and balance, and there was no shaking, there was no unsteadiness. And as we parked our car and stood there for a while and enjoyed the sight of the mountain goat, as days went by, I've been just trying to find references and enjoying the thoughts of the mountain goat. So that's what I'm going to do this morning. I'm going to share a few thoughts on the goat. The wise man in the book of Proverbs, he writes about many animals, and he writes about many birds, and he writes about many things that are unique. And after having observed them and enjoyed them, he writes about them. In verse 31, he says, there are three things which go well. The steps, that's what he's looking at. The three things that which go well, yea, four are comely in going. The steps of a lion, which is strongest among beasts, the walk of a greyhound, and the walk of a he-goat. Now, that word stately means beautiful. That word stately can also mean majestic. That word stately can also mean a tremendous amount of skill is involved as a mountain goat descends a mountain cliff, or as the mountain goat goes back up a mountain cliff. There is beauty, there is majesty, there is skill, there is order. And as you look at an animal like a mountain goat, either go up or go down, you enjoy the sight. And as the wise man in Proverbs chapter 30, as the words of Agur, as he sees this mountain goat, he comes to the conclusion that a mountain goat is one of those animals that has got a stately step. Now, they say that even a mountain lion, one of those lions that live on the mountains and can go up and down with tremendous speed, is not the lion that you see in Africa or some parts of India. This is a mountain lion. Even a mountain lion finds it difficult to catch a mountain goat. There's a tremendous, not only speed, but there is no slippage on the cliffs and the rocks as they go up and down. And so there is not only a stateliness in the steps of a mountain goat, but there is a tremendous skill and stateliness when the mountain goat comes to a stop. You see, when you see a mountain goat, maybe we all have access to Google and Yahoo and YouTube, and type in mountain goat and see what you find. You'll find various pictures or clips of mountain goats going up and down the mountain. You'll find clips of a mountain lion trying to chase a mountain goat and see the tremendous speed and accuracy by which a mountain goat can either go up or down. And so there is a tremendous beauty and skill in the mountain goat. This morning, what I want to do is, I want to, in the time I have before me, to apply the stateliness and the skill and the beauty and the majesty of a mountain goat. First of all, I want to talk about the perfect walk of Christ. The mountain goat and the perfect walk of Christ. I want to speak of the mountain goat and the perfect work of the Christian. And then I want to speak of the perfect witness of the Christian assembly. The perfect walk of Christ, the perfect works of a Christian, and the perfect witness of a Christian assembly. Now, in order to look at Christ in a goat, I'm sure you all know that we have to go to the Old Testament scriptures. The book of Exodus, the book of Leviticus, the book of Numbers are replete with examples of the mountain goat. It was an animal that the nation of Israel used for their offerings. And so you have the Word of God giving us in type a picture of Christ in the mountain goat. Now, it may be asked as to why the goat? Why the goat? In Leviticus chapter 1, when the Spirit of God is recording the burnt offering, he speaks, first of all, that your burnt offering can be taken from the sheep. And then he says, your burnt offering can also be taken from an ox. He also says that your burnt offering can be taken from a turtle dove. But the fourth option that he mentions, he says that your burnt offering can be taken from a goat. And there is a reason every time the Word of God mentions something in detail. And sometimes we may think that, you know, what's the big deal? The burnt offering can be taken from an ox, the burnt offering can be taken from a lamb, the burnt offering can be taken from a turtle dove, and the burnt offering can be taken from a goat. What's the big deal? But whenever the scripture mentions things, there is a reason for that mention. And when you come to the mention of the ox, when you come to the mention of an animal that is in the field that can work hard for hours and hours and hours to plow the field, you think of the strength of the animal. You think of the tremendous strength the animal has, and the strength of the animal takes us then to the Gospel of Matthew, isn't it? In the Gospel of Matthew, you have the king in all his strength. The Gospel writer Matthew presents the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ as the ox. And there you can trace the work of the Lord Jesus Christ as the one who is strong and who is able. From birth, he is presented as a mighty king. Where is he that is born king of the Jews? And so you have the great strength of the ox in Matthew. When you come to the Gospel of Mark, you have not the strength of the ox, you have the submissiveness of Christ. Mark presents him as the perfect servant. Mark presents him as the untiring servant. You will read words as though there is no end to a sentence. And. It is the untiring work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is constantly working. And so if Matthew presents him as the ox, Mark presents him as a sheep. The turtle dove is a bird that has a single eye. A turtle dove is a heavenly creature. A turtle dove is a bird that soars in the heavens. And if you were to look at a gospel that speaks of the turtle dove, is the Gospel of John. It is John that speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ's constant communication with his Father. It is the gospel of the heavenlies. It is a gospel of the four colors of the tabernacle. It is the gospel of the blue. And so when you come to the turtle dove, it is the gospel according to St. John. It is the single eye devotion. So we have the strength of the ox in Matthew. You have the submissiveness of the sheep in Mark. You have the single eye love and devotion for his Father in the Gospel of John. When you come to the Gospel of Luke, you have the manhood and you have the steps of the goat. There is tremendous stateliness by which the Lord walked upon earth, and that is captured by the Gospel writer Luke. And so there is a reason why we have four animals mentioned in that burnt offering, and there's a reason why there are four Gospels, because any one Gospel could never have picked up the life and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you have the goat in the Gospel according to Luke. Now, when I was growing up, or when I was a young man growing up in the assembly, I was always taught that the goat speaks of the sin offering. The goat is that aspect of the work of Christ that speaks of the sin offering, whereas the sheep and the lamb speaks of the burnt offering. But the more I have looked at the goat, the more I am convinced that that is not the case. Whether it is the sheep or the goat, it always speaks of the unique way by which the Lord walked, the unique steps of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I found something very interesting in Exodus chapter 12, where you have the record of the Passover. Many a times I have heard that thou shalt take a lamb. And whenever you think of that word lamb, you think of a nice, cuddly, white sheep. But go and read Exodus 12 again. And there God tells Moses, thou shalt take a lamb either from the sheep or from the goats. Thou shalt take a lamb either from the sheep or from the goats. So when you think of Christ as the Lamb of God, you think of his submissiveness. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. You think of the one who was willing to be led. You think of the one who was willing to be taken by man. You think of the one who was willing to be taken by his Father himself. And led not only through earth, but even led as he went to the cross. The ability to be led is found in the sheep, in the lamb. But when you think of the goat, it is not the ability to be led. But here is the one who has the ability to walk in his own strength, and that is the goat. The ability to walk, to go forth in his own majesty, the stateliness of his steps. And just a few references this morning. I don't want you to go over them and turn your Bibles to them. I'll just mention a few references that speak of the tremendous stateliness, the order, and the skill of the goat. Now, especially when you come to the last few hours of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you come to those hours when he's about to go to the cross, you read such words in Matthew chapter 26 when he comes to his disciples, when the climb is becoming absolutely steep, where the disciples could not follow and none of them could follow him, when the climb is absolutely as steep, he tells the disciples, come on, rise up, let us go. Rise up, let us go. When he stands before Pilate, tells Pilate, there again the stateliness and the strength of the goat. He tells Pilate, you have no power over me. He says, I have the power to lay down my life. I have the power to go to the place where I'm going to lay down my life, and I have the power to take it back again. Now, when you think of the lamb or the sheep, you think of the one who was led. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. But there is that beautiful verse in John chapter 19 where the Lord Jesus, it says, Jesus took up his own cross and went forth to the place called Calvary. You see, there you have the tremendous strength and the tremendous power, the majesty of him walking to Calvary. It is not now just the one who was led. That's a tremendous sight to see the one who was led. But it's an equally tremendous sight to see the one who was able to go in his own strength. And when the time was come, when the time had come, Jesus, bearing his own cross, went forth to the place called Calvary. He went forth to the place called Calvary. And so the ability of the servant to move out in strength, in stateliness, in skill, in tremendous majesty, that is the goat. Next time you see a goat, enjoy the fact that the goat is able to walk where no one can walk. The goat is able to climb a mountain where no one can climb. Without slipping, without dropping a stride, it can go up and it can come down. And that is the beauty of the goat. Now, I'm not going to go over the four offerings, but I'm just going to make a brief statement about each one of them. When you think of the burnt offering, there you have the goat. And when you think of the goat and the burnt offering, we know the burnt offering is an offering that in which the sacrifice was completely burnt. The sacrifice was completely offered. It's an offering where when the goat was sacrificed, he was the only one who could give infinite complete pleasure to his God and Father. That's the burnt offering. He was able to go the distance where no other animal could go. That's the thought of the goat and the burnt offering. You have the goat again in the peace offering. And we were talking about it the other day at home, and you think of the one who had to make peace between God and man, and the one who had to become the peace. He had to go the distance where no one else could go. And that's the thought of the peace offering. When you think of the sin offering and the trespass offering and the great day of atonement, we know there were two goats. One was the goat on which was the goat of the atonement, on which the sacrifice was made and the blood was shed. There was another goat that was called the scapegoat. The scapegoat, the sins of the nation of Israel were laid on the head of the scapegoat, and the scapegoat was sent away into a land where no one dwelt. And so whether you think of the goat on which the Lord's lot fell, that was the goat that could go the distance and God only could see it. That was God's goat. My God, my God. That was the goat on which the Lord's lot fell. But then there was a goat that went the distance where your sins and my sins were laid upon him. And he went into a land of desolation. He's called the scapegoat. He was a goat that could go where no other animal could go. That's the thought of the distance Christ traveled in order to become the scapegoat for you and me. He was able to go. The sheep could not go that distance, but the goat could. And that's why a goat is chosen for the great day of atonement. And so what a tremendous thought it is when we think of a goat that is stately in its steps. The Lord Jesus Christ, in every aspect of his life, you can enjoy him as the one who was able to go forth. Whether from the throne to the manger, from the manger to Calvary, and from Calvary back to his Father. There was tremendous majesty in the steps of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to speak on the perfect works of the saints in the goat. When you turn to the book of Exodus, God tells Moses that every wise-hearted individual, what that means is you must have not only a willing mind, but you must have a willing heart, a ready heart. A wise-hearted individual, they had to bring goat's hair. They had to bring goat's hair. And that's where I want to dwell on the works of the saints, the works of the Christian. You see, these were men and women, women included, by the way, in the works of the Christian. The assembly is a place where man and woman, brother and sister in Christ, can work together. And here was a nation that had just come out of the slavery of Egypt. Here was a nation that had just been redeemed from bondage. Their hands were occupied with the making bricks. Their hands were occupied with the straw. Their hands were occupied with the treasure cities of Egypt. Now, God tells them, let them handle goat's hair. They had never done that before. And as they handled the goat's hair, before they could handle the goat's hair, they had to handle the goat. Isn't it? Before they could handle the goat, they had to have a goat with them. They had to spend time with the goat. They had to wash the goat. Exodus chapter 12 again. Thou shalt wash it from the 10th day to the 14th day. There was time spent with the goat. And I speak to myself that before you bring anything, even on the Lord's Day morning, before you bring anything to present to God on a Sunday morning, make sure you have spent time with the goat. Make sure you have spent time with the Lord Jesus Christ. And here were men and women that spent time observing the goat, that spent their time in shearing the goat's hair and then bringing it in the presence of God. You know, the goat's hair speaks of holiness and it speaks of separation. And so that's what the Lord requires of us. in the perfect work of the saints. Not only we observe the perfect walk of Christ, but the perfect works of the Christian. There has to be time spent with a goat. And the more time we spend with the Lord Jesus Christ, the more holy is going to be our walk, and the more close we are going to be with Him. In a Christ-rejecting world, what we need is holiness and separation. And as the nation of Israel moved in the wilderness, they had to spend time with the goat. You know, the goat, a shepherd, if you read the Old Testament scriptures, a shepherd is a person that was despised by the Egyptians. An Egyptian despised a shepherd. But that's what the nation of Israel was occupied with in the wilderness. They were occupied, even in the land of Goshen, they were shepherds. And they were a despised people. They were a rejected people. And yet, what got them through the land, through the wilderness and into the land of Canaan, was time spent with a goat. Now, the few minutes I have before me, I want to speak on the perfect witness of the saints. So we looked at the walk of Christ. We look at the work of the Christians, and go back to the book of Exodus and enjoy those thoughts of wise-hearted women and men spinning the goat's hair and bringing it to God and for the tabernacle and so on. Enjoy it for yourself. But I want to speak now on the perfect witness of the saints. You see, the first thing that covered the tabernacle after all its glory was curtains. There were curtains around the tent. That word tent is found only in the book of Numbers. It is found only in the book of Numbers, the tent of the testimony. There was a testimony as the nation of Israel marched for 40 years through the wilderness. There was a testimony as the nations around them saw them march through. There was a testimony. And Numbers is a book of testimony. It's a book where there was a marching out from Egypt. There was a marching towards the promised land. And we are living in the wilderness. Everything around us is dry. Everything around us is barren. Everything around us is absolutely desert-like. And in this wild, howling wilderness, God has wants us to be the tent of the testimony. The first piece of material that covered the tabernacle was curtains of goat's hair. There was no beauty in the goat's hair. There is nothing attractive. There is nothing that gives any kind of appeal as you look at goat's hair. But that is the testimony to the world. And that is your testimony and my testimony. As the assembly, we have the unique privilege of displaying the testimony. And to the neighborhood here, to the neighborhood in IC Colony, or to the neighborhood where the Lord has kept us, there is a testimony. And the testimony is that we are linked with a goat. We are linked with a goat. In Hebrews chapter 11, when it speaks of those men and women that lived and that worked and went on for God, it is meant this one word captured my thought. They traveled in sheepskin and in goatskin. They traveled in sheepskin and in goatskin. Now, I don't advise anyone up here to try and wear goatskin or sheepskin, but it was a dress of somebody who was rejected. It was a dress of somebody who was despised. It was a dress of somebody who was a stranger. A stranger was the one who wore those kind of clothes. And as these men in Hebrews chapter 11 walked by faith and lived by faith and died by faith, they were identified as those who wore sheepskin and goatskin. And there's a tremendous testimony to the world around us that in a dark scene in which we live, where Christ is rejected, where the assembly is rejected, where the truths of God are rejected, we need to walk in testimony. In 1 John chapter 2, it says, let us walk even as He walked. Let us walk even as He walked. I want to say one thing about the assembly before I close, and it is this. I can say very well that I've been in the assembly for more than 30 years now. Well beyond 30 years. And some of you young people, perhaps some of you are not yet in the assembly, some of you are in the assembly. I'm going to tell you from experience, there is no place like God's assembly. There is no privilege like coming for every meeting of God's assembly, whether it's a Sunday morning meeting, is the gospel meeting, is the Thursday night meeting, is the prayer meeting. There is a walk involved in the book of Acts. Go through the book of Acts and you'll find these meetings. And so what we do here in walking in the assembly or being a testimony in this world is not something random that is picked out of the air. It is something that is found in God's word. It is something that occupied the Lord. It is something that occupied the apostles. It is something that is passed on in God's word. It's a pattern that is set before us for you and I to follow. And so my encouragement to all of you this morning is that we need to be occupied with the uniqueness of the goat. And then we need to be occupied with the works with goat's hair. And then be a testimony to the world around us. God will bless his word.